In today's episode, Mike gets a movie history lesson, I might have done some acid, Samantha tells us about Japanese Encino Man, and JJ's not getting that money back. This is House. Except Kevin Bacon. You are missing Kevin Bacon.
My sister hates him.
I will say
that. I'm okay with that.
All right. Well, I think we need to ask our good friend JJ today here on Fun Spirit Film
Club.
Are
we starting?
Movie Club.
Movie Club. Yes, yes, we are definitely starting.
When now?
Right now.
Episode.
Hi, I'm Josh.
You didn't have a transition.
I'm Josh.
No, we have to get right into this. We have important things to talk about.
I think
about,
Diane's
Samantha.
About to use the litter box, so we'll all get to listen to that.
Fantastic. JJ?
Yes?
Today we are talking about 1977 film House. And I think I speak for everyone, my friend, when I say... What the hell was that?
My friends over at Central Cinema told me about it a long time ago. And
okay.
Yeah, they were like, you just have to watch it. And that's all they told me. So I went out and bought it. And
okay.
And it was probably one of my most favorite purchases. I mean, it's bizarre. It's great. I mean, but and then everything in it, feels like it's a fashion shoot, you know?
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me inform our audience, because I'm imagining a lot of folks are not familiar with this film. Okay. So House, or in Japanese, Houseu, is a 1977 Japanese surrealistic, artistic, experimental horror comedy film. And it is about... A schoolgirl traveling with six friends to her ailing aunt's country home, where they come face to face with supernatural events. Now, that is the description of mm-hmm. the film.
That's
their
what happens.
Description.
Is it all
I mean,
that happens?
Supernatural events happen to six
yes.
girls.
Okay. Seven. All right. All right. So. JJ again.
I'm cat pooping.
She takes like 20 minutes. She like hits the side of the box. When she's done, she can't.
That's what Nora does. I wonder
maybe,
if it's a gray cat thing.
She always takes like 400. She's done. She's just like wiping her paws or something.
Well, if it was a white cat, would you be terrified?
I would be. Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Was this movie the inspiration for Monster House?
I can't confirm that. It is not noted whether or not it is.
I'm pretty sure this movie was the inspiration for Seven.
I kind of was thinking about Seven the entire time while we were watching this, but let's...
Well, they like, every one of the girls, has, like, their own personality.
Yes.
And they are murdered by their personality.
Only some of them, like, does the murder fit the character? So it's not quite Seven-ish there, but you can see a correlation, I would say.
That's why I suggested Nightmare on Elm Street 5, because it's kind of the same thing as well. yeah, the guy who read the comic books, all that fun stuff. So.
Yeah, okay. So, JJ, again, so this was recommended to you.
Yep.
How many years ago would you say? I'm interested in that because this is it has an interesting timeline, I'll say.
Yeah,
this.
It wasn't too long ago, maybe 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then And this is before the theater was there. They used to show stuff right across the street at this smaller place, and they just put a projector in. And so I went to watch this other movie there, and they were promoting House. They were like, hey, we're going to have people over to watch House in a couple weeks, and I couldn't make it. So I saw it was coming out on DVD or Blu-ray, and so I picked it up, the Criterion Edition, and just watched it at home. And no, it's fantastic. I have the soundtrack.
You too.
Yeah.
Is it just the two songs?
No, we actually had a slightly conversation earlier, Mike. There are a total of 12 tracks, and three of them are named Eat, and then there's Eat, Eat, and then Eat, Eat, Eat. Mm. That's literally about a third of the soundtrack, those three songs.
What's the name of the Kung Fu Girls song?
Her song would probably be, I don't
Kung Fu theme.
Yeah.
No.
No, she doesn't. So I'll just read the song titles here. So you've got the main theme, which there's variations of that throughout the entire
That main
theme
sounds very familiar to me.
It did.
Okay, go. Yeah, there's a Buggy Boogie, Hungry House Blues, Eat, Sweet Dreams of Days Gone By, A Letter in the Past, and then Cherries Were Made for Eating, Eat, Eat, In the Evening Mist, Oriental Melon Man, Eat, 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 and Love Theme.
Yes, House Love Theme is the final track in both the film
and the soundtrack.
They were like
high schoolers, right?
Yes, I believe they were.
Well, except for Professor, right?
No, I think she was a school student, too.
Oh, I...
Okay. It did get confusing about exactly who was going to the house and when. Okay.
Really? They... Not only do they introduce you to everybody, then they give you a breakdown of everybody.
I looked away for a second, and then Mac was ahead. So, like, spoilers, I guess. So, the ADR was
okay,
also crazy.
All right,
it felt like they were just recording a dub over something. It was like Kung Pao almost.
Except somehow.
I just like that. Not only is she ahead, but her immediate response is to go bite the girl's ass.
Yes, yes. So, to give you guys some ideas about our audience here, the characters' names are the following. We have Gorgeous. We have, excuse me, hang on.
Fantasy.
Oh, no, they just went away. Fantasy. Melody. Oh, my God. Where is, I just saw. There's Kung Fu. Prof, not Professor. Prof. Oh, here it is.
Mac.
And Sweet. And then there's also, of course, the auntie, who is the ghost. Or is it? Is she the ghost?
So what is Mac supposed to be?
I was
like McDonald's?
Okay, so, yeah, Samantha is the person here that speaks Japanese. Did you hear... Is there another translation of that word?
No, it was written in katakana,
so
it's just Mac. But I'm pretty sure it's short for McDonald's because they pronounce McDonald's
Makudonarudo.
So and she was the fat one who's eating all the time. So that's just my guess. McDonald's is probably over there in 77, or they knew of it.
I'm sure. I just thought it was weird. Like each of them is like either a like. You know, it's personality of something like that, but then it's just
who
like,
eats,
oh, and
like
Mac.
That's her whole thing. So that's just my assumption. I don't know that for a fact, but that's
okay.
That's why I ended up getting McDonald's because she got me thinking about McDonald's.
Okay. All right. So let's just go around the room and kind of give our impressions of this film. As I think a lot of people can hear, a lot of us are quite shocked and confused about what we've seen. But I'll just ask this first question. Did anybody dislike it? Because I didn't. I liked
no,
it.
No, I didn't dislike it.
No,
I
enjoyed it.
I think
I
gotta sit with it for a bit before I, like, appreciate it more.
Yes! Yeah, yeah, and I'm just going to say, guys, I know we were talking about going to see Old Boy, but I don't think I could handle this and then Old Boy on top of it.
I would not watch Old Boy.
It's, that
Old
is,
Boy, Sympathy for, yeah. Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, never again. Nope.
That is a double feature I don't think the human brain is designed to handle together. So, like I said, I watched it, definitely dug it. I had some experiences where I was like, wow, this movie's gone on forever. And I paused it and I was like, wait a minute. It's only been 16 minutes into this film.
It felt like being on a dark ride.
And I was like, I've never done acid, but have I been slipped acid somehow? Because, like, I don't know, like, the movie is goofy. It's goofy on purpose. But it's also, like, earnestly goofy. And it does actually have some, like, pretty wild visual effects, especially for 1977.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's like watching a cartoon. Like, a lot of people said, is this a live-action Scooby-Doo long before there was, you know, the films were made? Because it does seem like an episode, like an hour-long episode of Scooby-Doo with some of these, like, cuts and stuff like that, and some of the ghosts, and I'm just gonna say it, my favorite little part is the skeleton that's constantly dancing in the background. I love that skeleton, man.
So when the skeleton first appeared, though, I mean, well, by then you already invested in that movie, because that's pretty far into it.
If you can make it past the first 5 minutes, you gotta stick with it. You have to see where this goes.
No, I love the skeleton, but I know when I first saw it, because I thought my friends were just playing a joke on me, like, oh, you have to watch this movie.
Oh, so you thought you were being trolled. Okay.
Well, I went out and bought it, you know, I'm like, oh man, I'm not getting that money back. But
here's, you bought it on the Criterion Collection have collections of films like, Citizen Kane, The Seven Samurai. Those are Criterion film collections, and this is one.
Yep.
So, okay, I'm just putting that out there.
But, you know, like his use of transitions, like every rule that you know in cinema is just thrown out the window. You know, it's just, it doesn't quite make any sense why he made those decisions, but then it all works at the end, you know, and it's fun. You know, when the guy's going down the stairs with the pail and then
yes.
And everything stop motion. It's like, what's going on? Why am I, you know?
It's so interesting because that part is like, am I watching another part of a movie, a different movie that they accidentally edited into this film? But like, because there's like, you have the horror at the house
which
going
they barely
on.
Barely react to.
You have that their teacher's like wacky adventures trying to get to the house. You have them like the like semi-serious like flashback movie in the middle of the train ride, but then they're like MST3K-ing over the film the entire time. They're watching the film just like you are. The characters are,
it's
they're
just
commenting
like Terrace
on
House.
It.
Yeah, like it's just, yeah, telling a story, then, well, isn't she pretty? Like,
yeah, exactly. They're like, and they're like, they're making fun of like, oh, wow, look at their kiss. And then all of a sudden there was an explosion. It was a fiery kiss and stuff like that. I was like, are they riffing on this film that they're making themselves?
I do wonder why the subtitles named the cat Blanche, but when her name is just White.
I don't know.
It's like when you call a big guy tiny.
No, it'd be like calling a big guy Greg if his name was Fred. I guess it's similar, but it's just like somebody in whoever did the subtitles was like, we cannot do this.
See, and I was wondering that the entire time, because as someone that grew up watching like Godzilla films and old kung fu movies and like even shows like back in the day, like Ultraman and stuff like that, you know, those were always like dubbed for American audiences, so they constantly changed names and stuff like that. But I was wondering, as like, is this an old dub, or are they just literally, were they saying those exact, was it pretty accurate, would you say?
Subtitles?
For subtitles? Yeah. Besides like a few names and stuff like that.
Well, when I could understand what they were saying and it matched up, I mean, I'm not like 100% fluent, but basic phrases understood, like, oh, when they wake up, they'll be hungry, I could understand that. Or they're sleeping, I can understand that. Or wait for us. You know, things like that, not like complicated things, but I don't know. Yeah, I always think about the subtitles too when I watch K-dramas, because it's like a community subbed site, and I'm like, man, they could be lying to us all this time. These shows could be about totally different things, and I'd never know. But no, I think it was right.
And then I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, it's got to be that they did a pretty accurate translation, because this is, again, a Criterion film.
Sometimes I think localization teams just try to, like, make it, like nuances and stuff work for different audiences.
Yeah.
Because just direct translation probably would be weird.
Could be. All right, so let's get Mike and Samantha's opinions, and then I'm going to start giving you guys some
behind-the-scenes stuff. Don't even talk to me.
No. All right, Samantha, so what did you think about it?
I was so confused. First of all, like, for some reason it didn't register to me that the girl in the picture on Max was Japanese. So when I started, and I was like looking out the window, so I didn't see either. And then I just heard them like talking about going somewhere after school, and then I turned around and I was like, "Wait a minute." And then like, this is not English. And then I thought it was some, like, prologue leading to something. And I was like, oh, no, this is just a Japanese movie. Okay, fun. And then it... But it... Because it starts off kind of normal-ish a little bit. And I was like, well, it's old. You know what it reminded me of? Skid was in a movie when he was in Japan. And we bought it. He was in, like, a crowd scene, but we couldn't find him. Called, like... you know that caveman that was found pecking, the pecking man, peeking? So it's about him if he came to life. So it's Pico Jean, Where Are You? And that was from like the 90s.
Wait, so you're telling me that the Japanese made their own Encino Man?
Yes, but he has a whole family. Spoilers. But we found the Japanese DVD. There's no subtitles, though. So we watched that, and even this film made in the 90s was very similar to this. Just bizarre.
Okay.
And, but had a little bit... I don't even know. Anyway, it was fun. I think it would have been more fun to watch with people. But, yeah, I liked their outfits a lot. And then it didn't really seem like something from the 70s until it would, like, really remind you that it's from the 70s. Like, the art at the end for the credits. Like, ugh, get out of here. But, yeah, it was fun.
Well, just all the backdrops. It didn't seem like there was a single shot that was done outside.
No, it was done on the Toho Studios lot. So it is a...
For two different locations. Also, I thought it was so funny. Like, they just never seem to react appropriately to anything. They pull up to this creepy-ass house. They're like, wow, it's so beautiful. And then, you know, like, Mac disappears. She's scared. Like, that girl's scared. I don't remember which one it was. Gorgeous or Fantasy? Fantasy. And then they're all like, haha, let's go check. Hee-hee-hee-hee. And then they just, like... They don't get, like, scared until the end, I guess. It feels like... Or they're scared in the moment, and then they just forget, and they run around, and it, like, cuts to them dancing or something.
Yeah, the funniest thing is seeing, like, the actresses, like, they're acting like they're scared, and then it's like, oh, let me go, and then they stop being scared and start smiling.
Yeah, like right when they walk in, the chandelier like starts like attacking them or whatever, and impales that lizard, and then they're like, wow, you're yeah. so kung fu. Just over it immediately. The ant can get out of the chair. She's walking around. Oh, you can walk. You gave me energy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, literally.
So funny. It's very silly. Okay. I enjoyed it. I mean, I did not like it. Like I said, I think I have to sit with it for a bit, and it'll like become funnier as a kind of like the new Weird Al movie.
I was gonna say, JJ, does this get better on multiple viewings?
It loses its charm, but you tend to pick it apart a lot. You know, like I watched it again this morning, just to double check a couple things, and you know, like the conversations are just so bizarre. Like when you meet someone for the first time, like when they meet Auntie for the first time, and one of the girls is like, "What happened to your legs?"
Yeah. And then the aunt's like, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah. Okay.
When the cat broke her camera, she's like, "Don't be sad. Smile."
Yeah.
Yeah. The none of it makes any. Nothing logical happens in that movie. Ever. And then I don't. I know it's like the aunt possesses Gorgeous or whatever at the end, but I was like, why are we seeing a high school girl's bare breast?
Yeah, I did notice that it's like they tried to cram all the boobs into the third act.
Yeah, and sorry, I should have said something about that.
No, it's fine. Oh. But like,
because even the girl Melody, when she gets shredded up in the piano, they don't show anything until later. Then you see like just random boobs.
Well, I'll just say for the horror genre, a random boob is a pretty common occurrence in apparently both sides of the ocean in horror films.
I know that. So, I was just confused at how old they were supposed to be, especially with storyline. It's a bit weird, and I guess they had a crush on their teacher, but it was kind of funny. He'll save us. He's a man.
But remember, in the 40s,
Fantasy did.
Yeah, Fantasy did. Oh. All right, so, Mike, what did you think?
I watched half of it one night.
Okay.
And then I ended up watching the whole thing over again with Angela the next night.
Okay.
So my first time going through like that first half, I just spent my entire time trying to analyze the intention of the movie.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's just because I haven't watched much of any foreign films.
Okay.
So I was like, it seems like on the description before you watch it said it was a comedy, but I was like, is it an intentional comedy, or are they just saying that because it's so goofy? Yeah, and just like a lot of stuff that's misinterpreted through the language divide
cultural
kind of thing. Yeah, okay. And cultural.
Okay.
So I don't know. I just kept catching stuff where I was like, what on earth? Like the how they would zoom in to like the cat and all the faces, like it would just black screen circle
on the train ride.
Honestly, I got some Twin Peaks vibes.
And then
I don't think on purpose.
And then stuff like when they get off the bus drives off and there's a backdrop.
Yeah.
In front of another backdrop. And at first I was like, all right, they're being silly on purpose. But then I noticed that there was text on the backdrop. So I thought, is this like a billboard? Yeah. Is this like part of the culture over there that they have like painted landscapes at the bus stops? So I'm not sure about that. but I thought it was funny.
Yeah. But it was kind of a cool transition as well, because right when they established that train ride, when they went to the animated train, you're like, what? What is going? I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, those guys leaning against the backdrop, and then they pan over to the stairs, but you're like, a backdrop within a back? What's going on?
Well, and I think there was another one at the food stand.
Okay. Yeah.
Or if not there, there was another one I remember. But yeah, the more it went on, the more I was like, that's actually kind of impressive. That shot's cool. It was very well shot. And I thought it was fun. Yeah, I thought it was fun how they experimented with a bunch of different styles of shooting, like the animations, the rotoscoping that you guys love so much. They did something. I thought it went on too long, but they did a scene with where you run the shutter speed way down on the camera, so it makes that choppy look. But that was cool.
The black with just the spotlight of people, that reminded me of Over the Garden Wall.
Okay. Yeah, they actually, there was a couple of kind of...
Or Looney Tunes.
Yeah, or Looney Tunes. Or Scooby-Doo.
Or the episode where... With the cloud people. Where it's like the old...
Oh, yeah, the... like the 1900s animation. Windsor McKay.
Definitely. So, yeah. So, let's talk about some behind the scenes stuff, because it once you know this, once I read this first line, I was like, "What the hell?" Okay, so let's go into the origins of this film. So, Toho Studios approached the director. His last name is Obayashi. With the suggestion to make a film Jaws.
Saw that.
That was
they get eaten.
That was your opening directive. Hey, you know how Jaws was scary?
Instead of a shark,
tense?
Let's get a piano.
Yeah. So that was that is your mission statement. Let's make a film like Jaws. And then it sat for 2 years. Because apparently Toho Studios, their directors are not picked for the project. It's kind of like you work for them, just the studio, and you get assigned to it. But all their directors pass because they're like, this will absolutely ruin my career if I film this. So the guy they had directing it is a first-time director. He's also the writer. He did a lot of the... special effects and stuff like that too, and he's the producer of the film, so this is almost like a one-man film. So he was like, all right, while I'm writing this, he's like, you know, we could make Jaws, but he's like, let me ask my I think she was 9 years old at the time, my 9-year-old daughter, hey, how would you make a scary film? And she told him the stuff about well, the house would eat people. Apparently, she had an issue with, a mattress did fall on her, and she thought it was really scary. So they made that sequence where they killed Sweet.
Mattress.
based on her horrors.
Death by pillows.
Yeah. And so, he really wrote a lot of her suggestions, and, this film... The horror aspect of it from the almost the perspective of a kid. And then, like I said, it sat for 2 years. They said, fine, we'll just let you make it. And he's like, cool, I did. So, and here's the thing that is the wildest to me. So it got negative reviews in Japan when it came out, but it was a box office hit.
Of course it was.
So it's like. So I'm thinking of things when people went and saw the Emoji Movie because they heard it was so bad, but apparently it was pretty much a cult classic from the beginning. Yeah, kind of. And then I was interested about JJ when he encountered it, because apparently it only came to the States in 2009 for the first time. So, yeah. And like I said, it's been a cult classic apparently ever since.
It had some Rocky Horror vibes too, especially near the end.
So I'm going to, a lot of critics did actually point that out, that it has kind of a Rocky Horror Picture Show vibe, which I can't remember what. Rocky Horror would have come out later.
Wait, I thought that. Wait, did that come out in 78 or 72? Because both those dates are in my head.
I can look it up real quick. I'm going to do that. But I wanted to talk for just a second about 1975. Oh. So it did come out 2 years before that. Okay.
How quickly did movies go to other places back then?
Like internationally?
Yeah.
Rarely, actually. You would have like little art house cinema places that would import films and stuff like that. But as far as like going as far as subtitling it and stuff like that, maybe two or three major motion pictures a year would make it across. Like until about the 80s or 90s, then it really started picking up. But yeah, it would be few and far between. Because like, I was just thinking of like Seven Samurai didn't make it over here until like widescreen, until like maybe the mid 90s.
Maybe somebody came over and here that was on vacation and saw a Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Maybe. Maybe. But I was going to bring up, since you know, we originally are a video game podcast, did you guys get any like inspiration vibes from games you might have played while watching this film? Because I got a couple. Okay, so, all right. The first thing I thought of was like, I know there is another horror movie that inspired Resident Evil, but I was like, is this like where they got the idea of the haunted mansion? And I was like, is this also where Fatal Frame comes in? Because like the very first opening sequence, I was like, is this fucking Fatal Frame, the movie? Like the original one? And then of course I was like, when all the characters were facing their like seven-ish dilemmas, I was like, is this Silent Hill? Like, is this an alternate reality where you're punished for being apparently named like, you know, Mac or Professor or Fantasy or something like that?
Maybe Silent like, Hill took, yeah.
I was like, is the Ghost Cat, is it Pyramid Head? Is that what we're dealing with here?
You know what? One thing I kept thinking about during this whole movie, because I know the story behind Milo and Otis, was like, I don't even want to think about what this cat had to go through.
Yeah.
I love the one scene where they're wheeling her and they just kind of throw the cat at her and she catches it, but I don't know, the cat seemed pretty chill. I don't think they Milo and Otis this cat. I think it was the same.
It does get launched
a couple times. I'm sure there's a couple, but I don't think it was Milo and Otis. Oh.
I didn't think video games, but one of my early ideas was, it's like Hansel and Gretel meets Willy Wonka.
Okay. Oh, and just one more little like behind the scenes film thing. This was shot without any storyboard.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading that. I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they introduced the teacher like she's going to be a character at the beginning. Yep. She's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get married, and you never see her again.
or the character of the new stepmom coming at the end. Like, okay, let me introduce her. The daughter has a problem with her, so you're like, oh, I bet she shows up at the last minute, like as the, you know, the hero and saves them or something. Like, nope.
No, they're gonna eat her too. Well, that made me think like, because the only character in the movie who does not have a story is the main character.
Well, and
gorgeous. Like, so I thought, are they trying to suggest that she's cursing the like the new stepmom?
I don't know.
Because in the beginning, she's like, she's mad at her dad, and she says, like, I want to play a trick on her or something.
Yeah, or she wants to be like, I couldn't also get, like, the vibe or, like, are they trying to introduce the new stepmom as, like, is she something supernatural, too? Because she's constantly got, like, a fan on her that's blowing their clothes.
And slow motion.
And slow motion.
Well, I also didn't.
And soft lights. Yes. And the Vaseline on the camera lens.
Yeah, and the scarf she always has and tries to give to her. I was like, is she a ghost too?
I thought they were going to do that. What's that short story about the
thought about that too!
Ribbon.
Oh, yeah, her head falls off.
And she
yeah.
takes it off and her head yeah, falls off.
Like in Return to Oz.
Yeah. That's also in Return to Oz.
I've never seen Return to Oz.
You're thinking of Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is the yep. is the book.
Is it yeah.
I also didn't understand. So the aunt had been dead, but nobody knew, because the stepmom even mentioned going there.
Well, and they also mentioned, yeah, I saw you a couple years ago at grandma's funeral, and then they're like, then they retconned it in the middle of at the end of the movie. She'd been dead.
She
since
went
World
to
War
the
II.
Funeral as a ghost.
I guess. Which, I mean, it doesn't seem beyond her powers.
She's not location bound.
And so let's also talk about Auntie for just a second. Did you not feel like they were trying to do like almost kind of a Mary Poppins type thing with her at first? Like, she talks to the refrigerator and she talks to the oven, and like the oven starts like Muppet
maybe.
A little bit.
I didn't think
I don't
she
know if you
wasn't
guys were noticing
at,
that
at any one second, but. Maybe some Mary Poppins powers.
Like, I was like, are they going to make her out? Like, you're thinking, oh, she's obviously a witch or something, but you're like, is she a good witch
no
or
way.
Something like that? And
she was talking about, like, how they energize her from the beginning, and I was like, oh, she's going to, I've seen anime.
She's going to drain.
Gonna
yeah.
Slurp them up.
But then she kind of just like pieces out in the middle of the film. She dances on the refrigerator and then she's kind of gone. Like, I guess it is implied that she possesses.
She does. She possesses gorgeous. Yeah.
Gorgeous. And I'm also going to say this. Did you guys also have trouble deciding if gorgeous or fantasy was supposed to
yep.
be the main character in the film?
Yeah.
Okay. Not just me. Because I was like, you know, with the name Fantasy, are we supposed to be thinking like, oh, this is all in her head? Which, if they did that,
I
would have
been fine
pissed,
with that, honestly.
To be honest.
Because it would have made everything make more sense.
Well, I just thought they call her Fantasy because she's the only one who sees what's going on. And they all think that she's making it up.
Oh, she's
or over-exaggerating.
That's kind of what I was like, are they implying that she's all this is not really happening, she's making it up, or like a Alice in Wonderland type stuff? But nah, they didn't go that direction. But like I said, I'm still perplexed by the mom coming in at the end and then just getting like torched for some reason. She didn't do anything to anyone.
She was already married to the dad, right?
I think they were
going. Oh, okay. So she was still unmarried.
Going to get married.
I was like, man, they broke their one criteria. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if that was the rule, like because she was unmarried that she was able to get her.
That's so weird.
Hmm. Well, and then the random killing the dude towards the end. He just turns into a pile of bananas.
See, I consider the whole story with the teacher as something completely different because it is a cartoon going on, and I figure that man just turns into a skeleton because of the magic word banana, and because he doesn't get, like, he has zero interaction with any of the girls at the house. Like, his car is there, which, by the way, sweet Manx dune buggy. That is that would have been a pretty wild car to have back then. That was a 4-seater too. So, but yeah, like he has nothing. He plays no part in the story besides this little vignette on the side. Yes, we can see your.
I don't think he was their teacher, though, right?
No, he was.
Like, no, he was.
Gym teacher or something.
I don't know. The lady was the gym teacher.
He taught science.
Yeah, the lady. Because remember they introduced her. She had the basketball, the whistle.
Yeah.
I mean,
everything, hat to the side.
Track suit, ball cap. Yeah, she was a gym teacher.
And yeah, and for
So was it that same dude that she was engaged to?
Was it?
So then why was he going after that girl?
No.
Like, he was following them everywhere.
He was...
He was going to give them a ride or something.
He was supposed to have... apparently this was a recurring camp they went to, and, like, he's the... I don't know, the chaperone or something like it for it. And so he was having to go to that because they were supposed to be doing some sort of practice. Like, they kept talking about it was like a camp for something.
Yeah. But then he said something came up and it wouldn't work out.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then I didn't understand why he was going
after them. They were supposed to go somewhere else. And because that didn't work out, then they ended up going to this crazy house. Because you can just invite, apparently, 8 friends over to your distant relative in Japan at any time with just a quick little letter jotted off to them.
But he had plans to meet up with them there.
Yeah, I guess to run the camp they were supposed
run
to be
a camp
having.
At
okay.
Or just his aunt's house.
Yeah.
That she just smelled. So that was the whole problem. It's not a problem. They had these great little spurts of ideas, but ways just to get out of them. So, like, you know, to the point where, oh, what happened to your legs? Oh, nothing. Yeah. And then, you know.
Yeah.
So the entire story is like that as well. So it's like, why was he doing that? Oh, it was a good idea, but it wasn't totally fleshed out. So
Yeah,
so that was always.
That was after they were on the train and or about to be on whatever. Whenever it cut to those old guys in front of the convenience store or something, I thought it was about to become a musical. It just didn't. Wish it did though.
So was any part of it genuinely scary to anyone?
No.
Okay. Now I'm gonna give. I'm not going to say it was scary because obviously wasn't, but it definitely did kind of ratchet down on the horror in the last like 15 minutes of the film. Like the last couple deaths, like and I mean like literally like the last two seemed to be like the most genuinely like we're trying to make this literally scary. The one the girl falls in the water and dissolves, which they made a kind of funny blue screen effect, like you see her dissolving. They did that by pouring paint on the young lady, blue paint.
Hmm.
So when they filmed it, it literally, she would disappear because she was becoming a blue screen. And like, you know, the last one, like the girl mixing up her aunt for Gorgeous. Like those, they like played those like legit, not like the, which, what was the goofiest death to you guys?
The piano.
That would be my vote too.
Or Mac.
Mac see, was pretty goofy as well.
I don't remember how she died. I just remember the head part. Did they show how she died?
They don't show it. She went missing and then they went to pull up the watermelon.
Yeah. Then I remember that part. I was like, wait, did I miss something?
Mm-mm. Okay. They never showed it.
Yep. Okay. Well, JJ, this was one hell of an introduction to Funsphere Movie Club for you. You picked a winner. I think I can't wait to see what you come up with this for us on your next round.
I've got tons of them, but we'll get together and listen to the soundtrack.
I think we should just honestly loop eat, and then eat. All together, just on a constant loop. That may become my new workout jam, to be honest. I can see the motivation to start lifting heavier from those 3 songs. Just looped. All right. Anybody else got anything left to say about this one? All right. Well, I guess we'll say see you later, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, and don't trust white cats. I'm just going to say that.
Josh. You say all
and
cats.
I think
you find demon the All of them.
Yeah, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong.
Melody! Melody! Melody!
All right, bye.